time for Michigan's newest sports talk show, Mitt Madness.
And here he goes. Defense win championship.
Michigan sports talk from here in Battle Creek. The latest stories, the biggest games, all across the Mitten State.
That's not something to play with.
Streaming live and on demand on the 95.3 WBCK app. Your host, Dajon Hughes.
Good morning on this Saturday morning. Welcome into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. I'm your host, Dajon Hughes, and it's time for us to dive into an hour's worth of Michigan sports and what is happening around the Mitten. There's a ton for us to get into. Of course, we're going to touch in on our Tigers over in Comerica Park. There's some WNBA craziness that is going down. We're getting over to Ann Arbor for a Michigan basketball update. And we'll touch in on the Pistons Summer League, the World Cup, and then get into our picks to round out the show. I'm feeling pretty good. You know, lacrosse ended for me over the summer last weekend, so now it's just enjoying pro lacrosse. Going to take a couple trips here and go to some events live, which is always going to be fun. But it's really just a great time for me to relax and enjoy a little bit of time off. Didn't get to win a tournament this summer, but saw a lot of progression in my team. And also, we won a handful of games. So it wasn't like it was a total loss in the summer. Lots of great memories and lots of great progression. But I am excited to be relaxing a little bit and getting ready for the upswing that is going to be Michigan football. It's going to be Lions, Packers football. Michigan basketball back on the turnaround. Pistons going to be coming up soon. And the second half of this Tigers team season. Oh, man, where am I at? Oh, yeah, it's Friday. But the Tigers' second half of the season is picking up right where the end of the first half of the season left off. But you know where we always start when we start talking about our Tigers in the standings. They are still second from the bottom in the Central League. They're 6.5 games back from the leaders, the Chicago White Sox. Tigers are 44-52. White Sox are 50-45. Guardians 51-46. Tied for first with the White Sox. Then the Twins sitting in third, 3 games back, 48-49. At the bottom of the division, the Royals 13 games back, 38-59. When you look at the American League overall, Tigers are fourth from the bottom. The Athletics, Royals, and Angels all sit below the Tigers. Tampa Bay Rays at the top of the league, 56-38. Then the Yankees, are second, 3 games back at 54-42. Then the White Sox and Guardians, each 6.5 games back. Rounding out the top five in the American League are the Texas Rangers, who are 49-47, 8 games behind the Rays. Looking at the league overall, the Tigers are 2, 4, 6, 8th from the bottom. The Reds, Athletics, Giants, Mets, Rockies, Royals, and Angels all sit below the Tigers. Angels at the bottom of the league at 38-59, 23 games behind, tied with the Royals. The Rockies only sit a half game above them at 39-59. At the top of the league, to no surprise, are the Los Angeles Dodgers, 61-36. Brewers sit behind them at 59-37, game and a half back. Then the Rays, 3.5 games back. The Braves are 5 games back at 55-40. And rounding out the top five are the Yankees and the Cubs at 6.5 games back, 54-42 apiece. Looking at the wild card, the Tigers are quite a ways back. They are 3.5 games back from the bottom wild card spot, which belongs to technically the Twins / Mariners. They're both tied at 48-49. The top two spots right now belong to the Cleveland Guardians and the New York Yankees, who are +3 and +6.5 in the wild card standings. Tigers are still fourth from the bottom in that category. They're going to need some help, but I believe they're starting to get it. Looking at the leaders, which is Riley Green in the batting average department at .288, on-base percentage at .380, slugging percentage .462. Dylan Dingler leads the team in home runs with 19. He's got a .262 batting average. and he's got 60 RBIs, as that also leads the team in runs batted in. In the pitching category, Keiter Montero, 3.33 earned run average, 5 wins, 65 strikeouts. Framber Valdez leads the squad with 5 wins. His ERA is a 4.10, and his strikeouts sitting at 87. Leading the team in strikeouts with a 4.48 ERA, 3 wins and 98 strikeouts is Jack Flaherty. The team has 407 runs, good for 21st in the league. Batting average of .235 is 25th. On-base percentage of .314, which has been pretty consistent, is 20th. And their slugging percentage of .398 is 17th in the league. Meanwhile, pitching continues to be dominant. 3.65 ERA is 7th in the league. Their 37 quality starts is tied for 6th. Their 1.21 whip is 6th. And their opponent batting average of .233 is 7th. Top 7 in the major pitching statistical categories has been huge for the Tigers as they look to continue to try and crawl their way back in. When we look at the ending of the first half of the season, it went well for the Tigers, about as well as it possibly could have gone, right? So when we look, the last time we spoke, they were headed into a 3-game series with the Rangers. They played on Thursday, which was when I recorded last, and then they played on 4th of July and July 5th. They lose on Thursday 10-4, but then Flaherty bounces back with a 3-0 win, and then Casey Mize gets a 6-3 win. Tigers win the series 2-1, and they score a total of 13 runs. That's wild. 13 runs apiece in these 3 games for both squads, but the way that they were spread out was so weird. 10 for the Rangers in one game, 3 for them in the other. Meanwhile, Tigers scoring all 3, 4, 3, and 6. Then they bounce back right after that and take care of a business against a inferior squad in the Athletics, something that you have to do if you're going to crawl back into a race, more specifically the wild card race, because that's probably your better chances unless you pull out something crazy and you end up winning the division. But either way, you have to beat inferior teams and then still steal some from teams that are better. They go out and they take care of business against the A's. Scooble picks up a 6-2 win, improves his record to 5-4 on the year. Then Melton picks up a win against the Athletics, 6-1. That improves his record to 5-1 on the year. And then a third win to sweep the Athletics. Valdez improves to 5-6 on the year, 4-1 win. That's another 16 runs for the Tigers in 3 games. Only give up 3 runs in that span as well. Feeling good headed into their last series of the first half of the season against the Philadelphia Phillies. And they take that swag right into game number 1. And they take down the Phillies 10-2 on the back of Flaherty, who's now 3-8 on the year. Then they go out and lose game 2, 4-2. Casey Mize picks up a loss. Sanchez, a win for the Phillies. Then they lose game 3, 5-0. Zach Wheeler improves to 10-1 on the year. Easily been one of the best pitchers in not only the National League, but the entire MLB. And then Tarek Skubal falls to 5-5. So Tigers end on a 2-game losing streak, but that was right after winning 6 in a row. And then before that loss, they had won 3 in a row. So that's 9 out of their last 12. I mean, that's fantastic baseball. That's what you want. That's basically sweeping 3 series and then getting swept in 1 series. If you're trying to catch up in baseball, you got to go out and do those kind of things. It would be better if you're winning every series you're going into, at least 2-1, if not sweeping, because you are trying to crawl back in, and win streaks will be great for not only the morale of the locker room, but literally the scoreboard and evening up in the standings and trying to move up not only within the wild card race, but in the division. So they're going to need to really get on the high horse in the second half of the season, which is going to be starting this weekend. 3-game series against the Angels, a team that is struggling this season. Melton will take on Detmers, 9:38 p.m. on Friday. You guys all know how that went down. Then Rodriguez will take on Skubal, 10:07 p.m. on Saturday, later today. And then Johnson will battle against Mines 4:07 p.m. tomorrow on Sunday, rolling right into their early week series against the Chicago Cubs. These are both road series for the Tigers to start the second half of the season. A lot of indecision here for the pitching. We have no pitchers for the Monday, July 20th game at 8:05 p.m. We have no pitchers for the July 21st, Tuesday, 8:05 p.m. game. And then we do know that Rea will be on the mound for the Cubs on the Wednesday, July 22nd, 8 p.m. game, which will be on ESPN as well. Then that rolls right into the beginning of next weekend's series, because it's a four-game Thursday series against the Kansas City Royals, another team the Tigers not only have to beat because they're below them, not only do they have to beat them so they continue moving up the standings in the wild card and the division, but this is an interdivision rival, four games, a great chance for you to go out and assert dominance. Thursday, 6:40 p.m. on the 23rd, Melton will go against undecided for the Royals. Friday, July 24th, 6:40 p.m., Scoobles taking on Cameron. Saturday, 1:10 p.m., Casey Mize will go on to battle against undecided at the moment for the Royals. And then the 1:40 p.m. Sunday, July 26th game is undecided on both parties. But honestly, the Tigers have to win two of these three series. If I'm not mistaken, which I am going to pull up the standings again real quick, I believe the Cubs have started to slip a little bit, but they are still ahead of the Tigers. They are 54-42. When we look at the league overall, the Cubs are well into the top half of the league. In fact, they are sitting tied for fifth place in the league. So this is more than an uphill battle for the Tigers in regards to the Cubs. So if they can slam that Cubs series in between two sweeps, a three-game and a four-game sweep, losing that series 2-1 is solid. I mean, that's 8 of your last 10. Cool. You know, or even if you go out there and you get swept, you win 7 of your last 10, that's still a great spot to be in versus losing games to the Angels or the Royals atop of losing games to the Cubs really puts you in a sticky situation. The Tigers have their work cut out in front of them. It's not a foregone conclusion that they can't make the wild card. It's not a foregone conclusion that they can't win the AL Central. They just have to get help from the bats and have the pitching continue to be top 7 in the league as it's been major. But that's all we got for the Tigers. We'll touch in on them again next week. When we come back, we're talking WNBA craziness and a Michigan basketball update here on Mid Madness on 95.3.
We'll play.
As an organ donor, your story doesn't have to end. The good in you can live on. In fact, you could save up to 8 lives with your gifts. Your heart could keep beating. Your kidneys could keep filtering. And your intestines could keep on digesting for others. And that's not all. You can improve the lives of 50 more people as an eye and tissue donor, restoring sight and health. And you're not just helping out the person receiving the transplant. You're touching whole families with your life-saving gift. Register in minutes. Just go to organdonor.gov. You'll be happy you did. And just maybe, someone else will be happy too. Sign up today. Go to organdonor.gov. It saves lives. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Carter Ostrous here for the Council for Responsible Energy. I want to share a few quick, simple, and inexpensive tips that will not only reduce your home's energy use, but will also save you money on your utility bills. As you switch from heating to cooling, why not opt for a new programmable thermostat that will virtually pay for itself? This is one of the easiest things you can do to really see some significant savings. You can save about $180 a year by properly setting a programmable thermostat. Weather stripping can also significantly lower your bills. You just peel the backing off and seal up any leaks in drafty doors and windows. It only takes a few minutes, but you definitely notice a difference in both the temperature in the house and also your bills. And my last tip, check your home's insulation. Proper insulation in your attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, exterior and basement walls can save you 30% on home energy bills. It's a little bit more work for you, but your wallet will definitely thank you.
A message from the Council for Responsible Energy.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. I'm your host, Dejon Hughes, and it's time for us to talk a little bit about what is happening on in the WNBA. It has been wild. We'll start with the biggest story over there right now. Republican lawmakers are stepping into the WNBA. I mean, these are the same people who said sports are not political. And, you know, some of these people have been known for terms like shut up and dribble. But hey, when it's time to step in, I guess it's time to step in, right? I have no opinions on this. I'm just reading what is out there and what decisions they are making. The criticism of the WNBA officiating has now reached Capitol Hill. Just days after Indiana Fever star Caitlin Clark publicly called on the league to do a better job protecting its players, a group of Republican lawmakers is demanding answers from WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert. In a letter led by Representative August Pfluger, chairman of the Republican Study Committee and co-signed by a dozen members of Congress, including lawmakers from Indiana, the group argued that the WNBA has failed to adequately protect its biggest star from repeated unnecessary physical play. Caitlin Clark is transforming women's sports, the letter began. She has inspired a new generation of young girls to participate in athletics and has become one of the most influential figures in the history of women's basketball. The lawmakers also point to Clark's impact on the league's popularity. She's also the face of your league, they wrote. Clark has significantly increased fan interest, driven record television ratings, and attracted new corporate sponsors for the WNBA. From there, though, the letter turned sharply toward the league's handling of on-court physicality. Unfortunately, what they too often witness is not simply aggressive competition, but repeated acts of unnecessary physical hostility and violence, the lawmakers wrote. The letter specifically referenced several incidents involving Clark. Clark has been hip-checked, poked in the eye, and struck in the throat during games. It stated, the incidents go far beyond routine physical play, yet the WNBA and its officiating have too often failed to address these unacceptable incidents and hold players accountable. The struck-in-the-throat reference stemmed from Clark's June 24th game against the Phoenix Mercury when officials reviewed contact from Alyssa Thomas during a loose ball scramble but declined to assess a flagrant foul. Days later, the league upgraded the play to a flagrant two and suspended Thomas for one game. Clark later said she believed officials missed the call in real time. I did think it was a flagrant foul, Clark said. She added, it's kind of been a discussion for 3 years now, and I think we really need to do a better job protecting the people in this league. I've been involved in a few of those plays, but there's plenty of others across the league that haven't been called. You go back post-game or whatever it is, teams submit clips, and nothing changes. I think overall the league has to do better. The congressional letter went a step further, arguing Engelbert has a responsibility to ensure every player competes in a safe and professional environment. As commissioner, you have an obligation to ensure that every player competes in a safe and professional environment, both on and off the court, free from violence, discrimination, or retaliation. The lawmakers wrote, if discrimination or retaliation is occurring and creating a hostile work environment, we support any appropriate investigation by the Department of Justice, the Department of Labor, or the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. If true, such conduct could constitute violations of federal civil rights laws. The letter concluded by urging the league to take stronger action. The league has an extraordinary opportunity to inspire the next generation of female athletes to pursue athletics, but that opportunity is undermined when its brightest stars are not adequately protected. The letter reads, your fans deserve better, and so do the young girls who look to the WNBA as a model for excellent sportsmanship and opportunity. The timing comes as the WNBA continues to face mounting criticism over its officiating, despite an offseason overhaul intended to improve consistency and player safety. Engelbert forced a task force of coaches and executives before the season to address concerns over excessive physicality and freedom of movement. But nearly 2 months into the year, coaches, players, and front office personnel around the league continue to voice frustration with inconsistent whistles, missed calls, and what many believe is a lack of accountability. Apparently, the officiating task force still has some work to do, and everyone is noticing. First off, I want to say, yes, she gets fouled hard. Is some of it targeted? Maybe. But, like, I think that happens in every sport where some players don't like other players more for whatever reasons, and they target them. I mean, look at what happened with Major Wright in football, where he literally went, yeah, I saw the ball, but I didn't want the ball. I wanted him. And, like, that's the reality of sports sometimes, is vendettas are created, beef is created, rivalries are created, and then people act out of the emotion of the rivalry rather than the confines of the game. It happens all the time. And also, I'm sorry, I'm an avid fan of the WNBA, have been an avid fan of the WNBA for years. There is nothing, I repeat, nothing that is happening to Caitlin Clark that is not happening to other players and that has been happening to other players for years. Am I saying that it's right? No, but what I'm saying is we can't come in and do it just for one player. This needs to be something that's happening across the board. And I think that's what people have the issue with here, and what is creating more buzz and chaos around the situation is Republican lawmakers stepped in to do this because of Caitlin Clark, not because, oh, the WNBA is growing as an entity and we need to protect all of the pieces of the entity. No, we just want to protect this one person. And, oh, I guess, by the way, some other people here feel like you could, you know, benefit from this. So I guess that's good for you. No, absolutely not. And I think that's where the issue is. The officiating needs to get better, but she's not being taken into a different place. They're saying she's being turned into a political football. After conversations about WNBA officiating and Caitlin Clark have now expanded into include NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. Silver said Thursday that Clark has become a political football amid debates about officiating and physical play in WNBA, spurred by a recent play involving her and Alyssa Thomas. Ultimately, the issues around Caitlin Clark are not largely about officiating, and that particular incident is not about whether a foul should have been called at the time of the game or whether that was ultimately a flagrant on review. Silver made the remarks during an onstage conversation with Andrew Ross Sorkin at the Game Plan Summit. I've come to know Caitlin really well. She's an incredible player and also an incredible person, and she wants to focus on being the best player she can. She has become a bit of a political football in this country, and I think it's incredibly unfair to her. I don't think that issue is ultimately about officiating. It's become political ping pong with her, and she's a young woman who's trying to improve her game. The play Silver referred to happened in June 24th. Later, they say the play was an accident. They move on from all of that. I don't even think it's this has become a separate storyline about one foul, Silver said, adding, do we need to improve WNBA officiating? No doubt about it. So I think he's kind of along the lines that I am on as well. It's going to be interesting. But the all-star rosters are out, and there's a lot of excitement there. Team Coop was awarded the top pick with coin flip, and it was Paige Bueckers. Like, who else would we expect it to be? The Dallas Wings star point guard received the most votes from fans, so she was awarded to the team that won the coin flip. Paige does it all. Cooper said she can shoot the three. She scores on all three levels, but most important, she is a leader on the floor. She is getting her entire team really involved in everything that they do. Indiana Fever point guard Caitlin Clark earned the second most fan votes and was placed on Team Spoon. Witherspoon was given the first pick for the rest of the starters and immediately selected four-team MVP Aja Wilson. She rounded out her starters with Olivia Miles, Aaliyah Boston, and Jessica Shepherd. The bench was filled out by Rain Howard, Alicia Gray, Jonquil Jones, Courtney Williams, Kiki Irifin, and Nneka Ogumike. Two-time MVP Breonna Stewart was first pick for Team Coop as Cooper filled out her starting lineup with Kelsey Mitchell, Natasha Howard, and Gabby Williams. Two-time All-Star Angel Reese was the first pick of all the reserves and was joined by Marina Mabry, Dominique Malonga, Kelsey Plum, Jackie Young, and Sonia Citron. Witherspoon said she wanted playmaker, scorers, rebounders, and defenders. Put up together a well-balanced basketball team, she said. Cooper's philosophy was a bit simpler. Scorers were the number one priority before mentioning rebounders. She also wants her team to play fast and be able to get up and down the court since there's no half-court sets or calling plays. The game will feature just one rookie in Miles and three other first-time All-Stars in Shepherd, Malonga, and Mabry. Becky Hammon will coach Team Coop, while Lynx coach Cheryl Reeve will lead Team Spoon. The two teams will play for a $100,000 prize to benefit two Chicago-based organizations focused on keeping girls in sports. The organization paired with the winning team will get $70,000. So things are looking up for the things are looking up for the WNBA. The All-Star Game should be exciting, as that's right around the corner. I'm really going to be tuned in for that one to see, you know, obviously the matchup, I don't know, between Paige Beckers and Caitlin Clark, see who comes out on top. And I think Paige will, but that's just my personal opinion. I really like the way that Paige plays basketball, but I will be keeping a close eye on this whole law, Republican lawmakers thing with the WNBA and how that plays out. A little bit more news going down in Ann Arbor, as there has been some agreements going down. Mike Boynton Jr. has agreed to a two-year contract to become the next head men's basketball coach at Michigan. The school announced on Friday. Boynton had been the interim head coach since Dusty May left the reigning champion Wolverines for the Dallas Mavericks last month. "I'm grateful to Ward Manuel for his confidence and thankful for the opportunity to lead this program," Boynton said in a statement. "We have built a championship culture and a standard that everyone associated with this program takes great pride in. We have an outstanding group of players, and I'm excited to get to work and continue the success we've established together." Boynton was able to keep together nearly the entire roster in the wake of May's exit. Projected starting guard Trey McKinney announced his intention to stay hours after the coaching change, while starting point guard and Final Four most outstanding player Elliot Cadeau followed suit days later. Incoming transfers J.P. Estrella and Mustafa Tham reaffirmed their commitments last week. Five-star recruit Brandon McCoy Jr. opted to stay July 4th, the only player to yet announce his intentions and eventually did say he was going to leave. Was LJ Kaysen. So he is on his way out of the door, leaving the Michigan program. Michigan has also signed their first assistant. Longtime Brown head coach Mike Martin is moving over to be the assistant coach for Mike Boynton. So that's going to be an interesting pairing, as he won 171 games over 13 years that he spent at Brown. But that's all we got for the basketball segments. Well, for these basketball segments, we're touching Pistons and World Cup when we get back from the break here on 95.3.
Mike Rowe on the skills gap and how a student organization known as Skills USA is trying to fill it.
So the thing about Skills USA that's so cool, and the reason that my foundation has supported it for years, is that it's deliberately and intentionally focused on celebrating a skill. 3 million jobs right now exist in the trades and transportation and commerce. The skills gap is real. Training kids and getting them excited to do the jobs that exist ought to be job one. Skills USA does that in a big way. It's about excellence and competition and being good at what you do, and eventually through all of that, learning who you are. Skills USA is working.
Learn more at microworks.com and skillsusa.org.
As a young teenage boy, I didn't even know what autism was. How do you even spell that? A few years later, I heard that a friend's cousin's son had been diagnosed with autism.
I still wasn't sure what that really meant.
When I went to college, my roommate's brother had autism. When I moved to the city for work, my best friend called me and told me his son had been diagnosed with autism. We were both in shock. I still remember the day I walked into the house and saw that look on my wife's face. I knew something was wrong. I'll never forget how I felt when she said, "Our son has autism."
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, one in 110 children is diagnosed with autism. That's a 600% increase in the last 20 years. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. I'm your host, Dejon Hughes, and we're touching in on the Pistons in Summer League. And last time we talked, we did get to break down a little bit of their game against the 76ers. They got them down to a 0-1 start in Summer League. They lost that one 101-99. But then they played again on the 12th. That was Sunday, July 12th. They did come out with a win over in the Thomas and Mack Center, Las Vegas, Nevada. Looking at how the game went down, Chaz Lanier showed up and did what Chaz Lanier does. 25 points, 9 of 17 from the field. Got 10 rebounds for Mr. Jones and Rebecca Okori. 6 assists, 3 turnovers, 31 minutes. Malik Thomas balled out, though. He gave us 30 buckets. 10 of 24 from the field, 3 of 3 from the free throw line, 7 assists, 2 turnovers, and 34 minutes of play. Mr. Tomlin at 6 rebounds in the game for the Cavs. Cavs shoot 45, 32, 85 in their splits. 18 turnovers, 31 rebounds, led for 4% of the game by 3. Meanwhile, the Pistons had control of this one. 41, 48, 76 in their splits. 23 turnovers, which is a little bit of an issue, but did grab 40 rebounds, led for 91% of this game, and their largest lead was 12. As they come out on top, 103-94, and that improved their record to 1-1 at the time. Then they bounced back again the very next day and had to play a team that, well, many Pistons fans are beginning to hate more and more by the day. The New York Knicks, they had Mr. Kael go for 19 points. Jordan had 8 rebounds. Kael also had 4 assists, 3 turnovers, 29 minutes. Chaz Lanier, again, 24 points, 8 of 13 from the field. Jones grabs 8 rebounds. Rebecca Okori, 4 assists, 4 turnovers in 32 minutes. Pistons shoot 39, 30, 70 in the split. 17 turnovers, 38 rebounds, led for 25% of the game, largest lead being 7. Meanwhile, the Knicks, 41%, or 41, 33, 78 in their splits, 14 turnovers, 41 rebounds, 71% is what they led for the game, and the largest lead was 11. Pistons lose this one 86-75. There were points where the Pistons were back and forth with the Knicks before they eventually pulled away at the end of this game. Then that dropped the Pistons to 1-2 in Summer League. They played again on Wednesday, last game of Las Vegas before bracket play gets started. They had to take on the Phoenix Suns, who have been a nightmare to match up with during Summer League. Mr. Malouk was a dominant double-double for the Suns. 23 points on 8 of 13 shooting, 4 of 9 from the free throw line, 15 rebounds. Mr. Brown the second, 6 assists, 2 turnovers, 23 minutes of play. Pistons got 24 from Williams, 7 of 13 from the field, 5 of 7 from the charity stripe. Jones, 10 boards. Rebecca Okori, 5 assists, 4 turnovers, 31 minutes. Suns, 51, 32, 56, 16 turnovers. They had 45 rebounds, led for 96% of the game, largest lead 17. The Pistons, meanwhile, 38, 31, 81 in their splits, 13 turnovers, 35 rebounds, led for 3% of the game, largest lead being just 2. Pistons lose this one by their largest margin of Summer League play, which was 12 points, 100 to 88. Tough loss, but like you said, when you let a guy go for 23 and 15, it's going to be hard to win a basketball game. But they do have consolation play coming up. As you guys know how things went down against the Pistons, or against the Heat, that'll be 9 p.m. on ESPN. So a great chance to view what the Pistons are going to look like as they'll be taking on the Miami Heat. The Heat are 1-3 as well. They lost to the Magic, the Cavs, and the Raptors, but they did beat the Bucks. While we just went through who the Pistons won and lost to, the Los Angeles Lakers are 4-0 in Summer League. Houston, San Antonio, Atlanta, Golden State, Memphis, Boston, Toronto, Orlando, and Phoenix all 3-1. And then Brooklyn, Portland, Cleveland, Denver, Clippers, Philadelphia, Minnesota, Dallas, New Orleans, and Washington, all 2-2. Utah, Miami, Detroit, Chicago, Milwaukee, Charlotte, Indiana, New York, Sacramento, and Oklahoma City. Sacramento, all 1-3. OKC, surprising, 0-3. 4. So it's going to be an interesting Summer League consolation play and regular bracket play as well. All consolation games going down on Friday and a few on Saturday. Then you got some semifinal action between the Warriors and Lakers, Rockets and Grizzlies going down on Saturday before the final will be on Sunday with a few more consolation games. This is going to be an exciting way to end the Summer League. So that just adds to the passion that's coming up this weekend. Speaking of passion and this weekend, the World Cup is coming to an end this weekend. We have Spain taking on Argentina on Sunday, July 19th, 3 p.m. on Fox. That is going to be the game to watch. Why? Because, well, that's the World Cup final. We're going to find out who wins the World Cup by, I don't know, 5-ish, 5:30-ish. Who knows? Because we never know how much extra time they're going to put on and if it's going to go to even more extra time, if it's going to go to penalty kicks. This soccer game could be one of the longest games ever, but we will have a 2026 World Cup champion. And, I mean, who would have thought it would be Argentina and Spain? I mean, can you ever count out Lionel Messi? I don't think so. I have no clue who Spain has on their squad, but they've made it here. So obviously they got some kind of dogs over there that are going to make it happen. I'm really excited to see, how crazy things are going to get for the winner, how crazy things are going to get for the loser, the passion that comes behind the game, all the back and forth banter and discourse that will go on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, everywhere is going to be fantastic. It's one of the best things about the World Cup is literally like everyone is paying attention to what is going on. And then the third place match, a lot of people are already talking, the discourse is going, is this kind of like a bowl game where like some of the stars might not play or they might take it easy because like it's third place and it won't matter. But then there's other people saying, you know, what's funny is the winner of the third place game is going to feel better than the loser of the final. And I'm like, really? I mean, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like maybe they would feel like if they were on the other side, they could have gotten to the final and then maybe they could have won the final if they were there and their juices were going a different way because it was the World Cup final. The whole thing is just a weird thing to wrap my head around is I don't know how to look at the third place match. I guess I'll get a chance to watch it because it's going to be later today, 5 p.m. It's on Fox. It's going to be out of Miami Gardens, Florida. So those people down there get a great chance to see one more World Cup game. But I just don't know what I'm supposed to have as far as an out view of what this game is going to look like when I've never really paid this much attention to the World Cup before. I've always been watch a U.S., and if they keep going, cool. And then once they're out, I'll tune into the final because, I mean, I don't care a bunch about the other countries. And soccer isn't a sport that I dive heavily into. But this World Cup has been an exciting one. It hasn't turned out the way I've wanted to at all. There's nobody in it that I want to see win. But I will be talking a little bit more about who I think will win. Not only the third place match between France and England, but I also will be talking a ton about what I think is going to happen between Spain and Argentina in the World Cup final, along with tons of WNBA, because that's what we got coming up next is our picks segment. We'll get back to more Michigan sports next week here on Mid Madness on 95.3 The
Ticket. I'm more resourceful than I thought.
My suit can still make an impression.
My video games are still game changers.
And my lamp can bring others a bright future.
Because when I donate my stuff to Goodwill,
it helps fund job placement and training for people right in my community.
Now my stuff gets a second chance.
And will give someone in my community
a second chance too.
Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. That's goodwill.org. This message brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Are our love bugs and companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life better. When we face unexpected challenges, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people and their pets. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. I'm your host, Dejon Hughes, and it's time for my favorite part of the show, the picks. The picks are always fun, a great chance for me to show off the ball knowledge that I have. Well, that I think I have. You know, we all like to think that we know a lot about ball, and sometimes ball just proves that we don't really know anything. But that's the cool part, is also you can play along. The chat feature in the 95.3 The Ticket app, all you have to do is listen for the games, the matches, the contests that we have pulled together. There will always be six on every single show, at least six. We may go a few more if it's something special going on, and I'll do a deliberation, talk about how I know all these things and why whatever I am saying about this particular contest, match, game is going to go the way I think it will go, and then undoubtedly pick the right winner. You can do all of that for your own, your research, your deliberation, your talking and thumbing through to decide who will win each and every game. And then if you're able to beat me in a season's long worth of picks, then of course we'll have to get you something special, because you have earned it. Nobody else has ever been able to take me down in a season of picks, because, well, your boy just simply knows ball. But I would love for you to do it if you are able to. So take the challenge, head on over to the chat feature in 95.3 The Ticket app, submit your picks each and every week, and see if you know ball just as much as I do. Speaking of knowing ball, and kind of like I do, you might not have wanted to know ball the way that I knew it last week. I had some serious troubles. I went 2-4. The Liberty lost to the Lynx. The Aces lost to the Fever. Norway lost to England. Argentina did beat Switzerland. The Dream lost to the Fire, but the Mystics took down the Tempo. Got me 2-4. Now I'm up to 71-61-1. On the season. So I'm gonna have to figure out what I'm gonna do here and get back on the right track, hopefully with a solid 6-0 week. But only one way to find that out, and that starts with the FIFA World Cup third place match going down later on today on Fox, 5 p.m. between France and England at Hard Rock Stadium, Miami Gardens, Florida. Mbappe against Kane. We know the big names in this one. France, 110 on the money line, plus 270 for England. A half goal favorite for France. 3.5 sits on the over under. A plus 285 on the line for the draw, going to penalty kicks. The last couple of times these teams have played, France is dominant in the head-to-head, 4-1 in that matter. 2-1 back in 2022 in the World Cup quarterfinals. A 3-2 victory in the 2017 international final, or international friendly. 2-0 win for England in an international friendly in 2015. The European Championship group stage, they tied at 1 in full time. And then a 2-1 victory for France in full-time international friendly in 2010. Obviously, France comes in 4-0 in their last five. Their 2-0 loss to Spain is their only blemish. England, same thing. Their 2-1 loss to Argentina, their only blemish. France has been great on the offensive and defensive end in this tournament so far this year. And I think they do have just a little bit more star power, as they put out 4 clean sheets in the tournament as well. All the numbers are pointing toward France, and I think they have just one little bit of a leg up here. So I'm going to take France to win the third place match, although I'm sure they wish they were playing in the World Cup final. Speaking of the World Cup final, July 19th, that's tomorrow, 3 p.m. on Fox from MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Argentina will be taking on Spain for the World Cup final. Obviously, Lionel Messi is the top-notch headliner of this one. He's got 8 goals and 7 appearances so far in this tournament. He's also got 4 assists, giving him 12 total points in this World Cup. He's also looking to break some records and really cement his name in history. Plus 125 on the money line for Spain. Plus 255 for Argentina. Half goal favorite is Spain. 2.5 on the over-under. Plus 200 for the draw, leading to the penalty kicks. In the last five matchups, it's 3-2 favor of Spain. 6-1 in a friendly back in 2018. 4-1 win for Argentina in a friendly back in 2010. A 2-1 friendly win in 2009 for Spain. A 2-1 friendly win in 2006 for Spain. And a 2-1 group stage World Cup win in 1966 for Argentina. Argentina has been the better team in this World Cup outside of defensively. Defensively, 0.14 goals given up per game for Spain, one for Argentina. Argentina scoring at almost 3 goals a game, 2.71. So that's a huge jump for them. Spain, obviously, 5-0. They have 4 clean sheets in the last 5 games. They gave up 1 goal to Belgium. They have 6 clean sheets in the entire World Cup. Meanwhile, Argentina, 3-1, 3-2, 3-2, 3-1, 2-1. Gave up goals in every single one, but they have been able to score at large amounts as well. So when you can score, I guess it doesn't matter if you give up goals. Basically, what I'm saying here is you got big names in the offensive end. Your defense might struggle, but when you got a guy like Lionel Messi, I could care less what else is happening out there. I'm going to rock with Messi. It might be a downfall of mine this week. We'll find out, but I'm taking Argentina to beat Spain. Messi gets a second World Cup, and he really implements his name into some serious, serious soccer, football history, whatever you want to call it, not only in Argentina, but across the globe, which is going to be huge. I've got Argentina winning the World Cup final. That's going to get us over into the hardwood to end our pick segment for this week. Going down later today, 8 p.m. on CBS and Paramount Plus, the New York Liberty taking on the Indiana Fever. Liberty 13-11, 6-6 on the road. The Fever 14-10, 8-5 at home. 41.4% chance for the Liberty, 58.6% chance for the Fever. Satu Sabali is out with a concussion until at least the 28th. Caitlin Clark and Aaliyah Boston might both be back, but they are both game time decisions for this game as well. Breonna Stewart, Jonquel Jones, Astier and company looking to take on Kelsey Mitchell, Aaliyah Boston, Caitlin Clark. They won the first matchup 83-75 back on June 6th. Indiana currently sixth, a half game above New York in the Eastern Conference standings. This will be huge for moving them above and a game behind. So really them bumping to 14-11 and bumping Indiana down to 14-11 moves them directly into second place behind Atlanta, or at least ties them, depending on what happens with Atlanta and their games over the weekend. This is a huge game for New York, a huge game for Indiana. It can keep them on pace with the Dream or even boost them ahead of the Dream and give them some separation from the New York Liberty. With all of that being said, even though this game is at Gainbridge Fieldhouse, there's something that the Liberty do when they play better teams, and it's step up to the competition. They won this first matchup by 8. I think they're going to bounce back and win this one as well. I'm going with the Liberty for whatever reason. I cannot tell you, but I got the Liberty winning this one. Moving on to later today, 8 p.m., Portland Fire, 11-14, 5-8 on the road, taking on the Minnesota Lynx, 19-6, 9-4 at home. 15.3% chance for the Fire, 84.7% for the Lynx. Looking at a major injury in Olivia Miles, expected to be back with this game, and she's out with an ankle injury at the moment. The Lynx are 19-6 at the top of the Western Conference. Fire are sitting at 11-14, they're fifth, so they are trying to push their way up into the Western Conference top half of the standings, but it is somewhat of a push. I would love to pick the Fire here as they are able to steal some games from teams like the Dream and the Mystics that only lost by 8 to the Aces. You got a team in the Lynx that are rolling right now, 4 wins in a row, and they took down the Liberty, the Suns, the Mercury, and the Sparks. I'm going with the Lynx to take care of the Portland Fire and pick up their fifth win in a row and get back streaking, hopefully with a healthy Olivia Miles. But that's the dangerous part. She's not healthy. So when she comes back, they're only going to get better. The Lynx are 11.5-point favorites in this game. Negative 700 on the money line, plus 500 for the Fire, 171.5 on the over-under. Also later today, 8:30 p.m., the Washington Mystics, 12-11, 7-5 on the road, taking on the Golden State Valkyries, who are 18-7, 10-3 at home. 27.2% chance for the Mystics, 72.8% chance for the Valkyries. 8.5-point favorites are the Valkyries, negative 395 on the money line, plus 310 for the Mystics, 148.5 on the over-under. Mystics won the first matchup between the two back on July 6th, 62-49. They'll meet once again. Sonia Citron, Kiki Irifin are both all-star selections. Gabby Williams, an all-star starter for the Valkyrie. Georgia Amore back in action for the Mystics. Both these teams have very comparable metrics. The only thing is Mystics have lost a game to the Valkyries on the 6th and to the Fire in their last five. They did beat Tempo, the Storm, and the Dream, but the Valkyries are rolling. They beat the Dream, the Mystics, the Tempo, the Sun, and the Fever. They're playing at home where they are 10-3. It's something about them playing in the Chase Center in San Francisco that turns them up another notch. I'm taking the Valkyries to win this one as well, which last matchup is a makeup from July 16th. The New York Liberty are going to be taking on the Dallas Wings, who are 7-3 at home. Paige Beckers, Jessica Shepherd and company taking on Breonna Stewart, Jonquel Jones and company. 46.5% chance for the Wings, 53.5% chance for the Liberty. Dallas leads the series 2-0, 91-76 back on May 24th, 88-77 on June 7th. So you think you're crazy if you think I'm not going with trends. College Park Center in Arlington, Texas is going up for the Wings, and they're grabbing yet another dub over the Liberty to go ahead and sweep the season series. That gives me Argentina to win the cup, France to win the third place game, Liberty, Lynx, Valkyries, and Wings. Enjoy the Tigers coverage. Enjoy more sports. And we'll be back next week with more Mid Madness on 95.3 The Ticket.
Join Dejon Hughes every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Mitten Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Miss the show or want to run it back? Stream Mitten Madness on demand on the WBCK app, sponsored by AirwayCashForJunkCars.com.